today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Hello, this is Kimberly Hairston Hicks at the Hunterdon Chamber Radio, the voice of business. And I am the host of Good Women Win. Thank you for listening and our Facebook watchers. We so appreciate you. Today's show is about forgiveness and our theme. You know, every week I love to do a theme. And today's theme is I cried my last tear yesterday. And we all know that we experience heartbreak, pain, disappointment, but in order to move forward, you must forgive. And today I am so excited. I have in the studio a wonderful woman that I've met a few months ago, Shelby Lawson, and she is such a wonderful woman. And today she's going to share her experience on the power of forgiveness and how embracing her own beauty, her own self-love, and most importantly, how to forgive changed her life. Welcome, Shelby.
Thank you so much for having me, Kimberly. I'm excited to be here on this warm day.
I know. It is not warm. It is hot in here, as Nelly would say. You know, I love music, and I'm always making reference to music themes.
Yes.
So we're going to get into it because we only have 1 hour with Shelby, and her story is not only inspiring, but it also is a teaching moment for all of us, and it's all about the power of forgiveness. So, Shelby, before I get into your story specifically about forgiveness, I want to talk a little bit with you about how you went from working at a cardiologist. Mm-hmm. You were a cardiologist and working in a group, helping people heal their hearts. And now you actually help women feel beautiful and you own Lawson's Accessories. Mm-hmm. You're an amazing seamstress.
Thank you.
But tell us how you actually arrived to that place from where you were.
Well, I wasn't a cardiologist, but I worked in the cardiology group. I was procedure scheduler coordinator for the group. So if a patient needed any cardiac procedures, the physicians would bring the patients to me to educate them and prepare them for their upcoming procedures. So Lawson Accessories came to be because I consistently saw color while sitting at my desk.
So color just would pop up in your head.
It would pop up in my head, and I had to examine where that was coming from.
Okay.
I had no idea. My plan was to stay with the cardiology group, retire, and live my happy little life. Not knowing at 53 I would leave, start a new career that had no guaranteed income.
Wow.
And just, it was pure faith.
And just that thought alone, to leave something very stable and to have the faith that you could create something out of nothing is powerful within itself.
Yes.
And that takes a lot. And what do you think inspired you to be able to do that?
The main thing that inspired me, or the main person that inspired me, was my daughter. I have a college student daughter, and I preach to her all the time about faith, and I think as most parents do. But in order to really, for our children to grasp what faith is, they really have to see it in action. They have to see you putting your words into action And that was my main motivation. But secondly, I couldn't sleep. I was being awakened by these pops of color. And, you know, during the day, sitting at my desk, pops of color. So I really had to step back and just be open to what that was.
And I think that's really where the spirit is talking to you.
Yes.
So Oprah Winfrey has this saying, and I'm going to misquote a little bit, but I'm going to paraphrase, so forgive me, but she talks about when God speaks to you, it first comes in a whisper. And if you don't listen, it could in turn be a boulder on your head. So you were seeing those spots of color.
Yes.
And that was God's way of whispering to you.
He was preparing me, in a sense, because afterwards I decided to step out halfway. I kept my job full time and I started part time. I rented a space, started part time, and at some point, my husband said to me, "You have to make a decision." I don't know if I was not being a happy camper or what inspired him to say that to me. But at the end of the day, I decided to go for it. And without any hesitation, I just already knew that the plan had been laid for my life in that arena. Because it was coming, it came, as you said, it came slowly. And when I started to lose sleep about it, and that's how I define passion to my daughter. Everybody speaks, find your passion, discover your passion. Mm-hmm. But if you don't say what passion is for me, that thing that kept me up at night.
Okay.
That thing that brought tears to me. The thing that I just could not get away from. So that forced me to step out and start Lost and Accessories full time.
That I love it. I love it. We're going to take a little bit of shift because I think today is really about, again, the power of forgiveness. And I use the theme from Mary Mary, the song, "I Cried My Last Tear" yesterday because, again, it's about moving forward. Mm-hmm. I would love to understand, what's your definition of forgiveness?
Great question. Forgiveness for me, and you will hear me say that often, for me, because it's my journey and it's my life. Forgiveness for me is a gift, plain and simple. Not just a gift to the ones that we are forgiving, but an amazing gift to myself. It's a pathway to joy and peace.
Okay.
The thing that catapulted me to my now.
Forgiveness
is the releasing of all the unanswered questions of why and the power within that release of letting it go, because sometimes you don't get your whys answered. And it was just freedom for me.
Wow. When I was researching this subject, I came across exactly something very similar and I'm going to quote the gentleman. He talks about forgiveness being, and I'm going to make sure I get the exact quote because it's so powerful that it was like, I got to make sure I have it. But it talks about that forgiveness is, you know, being a prisoner. And releasing that prisoner and then soon finding out that prisoner was you. Mm-hmm. And not to be held on, because forgiveness often is not just about the other person. Mm-hmm. Most times it is about you. Mm-hmm. So I know we talked briefly about this story about your father and how you were able to understand why you needed to forgive him and yourself. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about how that came about.
Well, I want to start by saying that this is all my perspective.
Okay.
It's not a today journey. It has been a lifetime of getting to the place that I am now. And just when I thought I had forgiven, something would creep up in my life to remind me that maybe I hadn't totally forgiven him.
Why did you need to forgive him?
Well, I had to forgive him for me, And I also did it for him. He's older. He's 81 now. And I needed to at least make an effort. And the last thing that I wanted to do is be at a funeral crying for someone that I didn't give my all to.
Did you have a relationship with your father growing up? Did you become estranged? Did something, why was there forgiveness needed?
Well, there was really no relationship, and it's taken me years to confess that. There was no relationship. Now, whether there was my mother, who's since passed on, she's been gone for 24 years. So whether it was her saying to him, don't come around, because, you know, sometimes women can be mean, or it was his choice. So I had to reconcile with those things first. And I left my mother's house when I was 18, and I've lived on my own since. So if the relationship between the two of them was the issue, I being the daughter, living alone from 18 to now.
Okay.
I could have, my heart was a little hardened.
Okay.
Because I could have reached out, but I felt that I was the daughter and he was the father and he should be the one initiating. So the estrangement has been consistent, and that's about the only thing that's been consistent with him.
And did you know where he was, and did he know where you were?
Yes. I was in South Carolina. He was in California.
Okay.
And so the only time I would, and I had a wonderful relationship with his parents, and they stepped up to the plate in his absence.
Okay.
So I would know when he would come to town, people would say, oh, your dad's in town. But there would still be no effort, because I stayed in South Carolina until 1991.
Okay.
And then I moved to Illinois, and then we ended up here in Pennsylvania. But with the hardening of my heart, I carried that for quite some time, that I'm the daughter, he's the father, he should be the one to reconcile with me.
Even
and why
age.
Do I have to be the bigger person?
Oh, okay. Why? And I can understand that, because sometimes the estrangement goes on because we're both, two people could be waiting for the same.
Absolutely.
Thing. He could have been fearful.
Yes.
And
yes.
Yeah. So yeah. How did you decide? Were you the one that reached out, or did he actually reach out to you? To bring that relationship together.
So that's a really loaded question as well, because at 40, at that point I had been married for 13 years.
Okay.
Out of the blue, my husband says to me, you need to forgive your father.
Wow.
I don't know what my actions were or what I was doing. So in his request, I wrote a letter.
Okay.
Mailed it to my brother in South Carolina for him to mail to my father in California. I don't know to this day if my brother even mailed the letter or if my father received the letter. All I know is when I put the letter in the mailbox and I walked back to my front door, there was a weight lifted, a heavy weight.
Oh.
And that was the initial action. But with you requesting me to come to the show and me writing my feelings about that, come to find out, my heart wasn't in that initial forgiveness. I did it because my husband requested it of me.
Okay.
And when it does not come from a pure place, it will return and show up stronger and harder than before. And it did.
Tell me how that happened. Like, how did it show up hard?
It showed up hard. So I love rainy days. Rainy days are my days to totally relax and just be. So on Wednesday, June 19th, 2019, this is very fresh.
Wow.
June 19th, it rained the whole week. So Wednesday, the shop is closed. I'm at home in my PJs relaxing, had my day planned out. All of a sudden, another backstory is my father-in-law has been ill for 3 months. So we're preparing to either bring him to our house or, to make sure that he's cared for.
Okay.
So in my quiet time that rainy day, all of a sudden, the question, how are you going to care for your father-in-law when you haven't reconciled with your father? Oh. Over and over and over again, all day.
The question of how can you see yourself taking care of your husband's father,
yes,
and then there being your biological father that had some needs,
yes,
that you hadn't reconciled. Wow.
All day.
All day.
Powerful.
Okay.
Until, and I try to live a life of obedience. And I know this was one of the times when God was trying to tell me, I need you to respond and be obedient right now.
Okay.
Because it continued all day.
And what did you do? What did you do with that information that God was telling you?
Well, I tried to blow it off for a little while, but as I said, it continued all day. So I said, let me go in the basement and make a dress. I go to the basement.
Stay busy.
Stay busy. Just
and God says, "Stay, be still."
Yes. He said, be still. I wouldn't. So disobedience again. So I went into the basement to thread my machine. And mind you, I thread my machine at least 10 times a day.
Okay.
It was as if I was being held hostage in my own body. I could not thread my machine.
Wow.
And at the same time, how are you going to care for your father-in-law when you haven't reconciled with your father repeatedly, even as I'm trying to thread my machine?
Okay.
And so with that, I went to trusty old Facebook, and I started sending out my phone number to first to him as an inbox message, then to a friend request to his wife, and then in that was connections. I discovered there's someone who I knew nothing about, my 29-year-old sister.
Wow. So not only have you been disconnected from your dad, there was a sister that, did she know about you?
Well, when I inboxed her a heart, she sent back a lot of hearts. And so I thought that she knew who I was because the brothers knew.
Okay.
The father knew, the mother knew. And so we were texting back and forth, and because now she's checked me out on Facebook and we have connections, mutual friends and family members. And so that was Thursday. So
okay.
Wednesday night, the initial day, I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep.
Okay.
I couldn't thread my machine.
Okay.
So she texted me and she said, when can I call you? And I said, anytime.
Okay.
But I'm thinking in my head, within that time, my father may call first.
Okay.
But he didn't because he's 81, and, you know, social media is.
Is he on Facebook?
Right. So the next day, Thursday, she called me, and we're talking and chatting, and she said, "What? So where do you fit in the family?"
Okay.
And there was a massive pause, and my heart just sank because now I know by that comment that she doesn't know that I'm her sister.
Okay. Okay.
I didn't answer. And so because she's in California, I'm in Pennsylvania, she repeated herself thinking that the call had dropped or something.
Okay.
I still didn't answer. And then she got silent and she said, you're saying that you're my sister.
Oh, that's a very difficult thing to hear for the first time that
that's
you
a
have
very
a sister.
Difficult thing, but she mm-hmm. handled it well.
Good.
I'm very proud of her. She handled it. I told her the story of the reason that I'm reaching out because the last 24 hours have been troubling. I couldn't rest. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep until I was obedient to what God was downloading in my spirit. And she understood that. And so then she started to cry because she always wanted a sister.
Oh.
So even if nothing else comes from this part of the journey, and it's still continuing.
Yes.
Even if nothing else comes from this journey, I have connected with an amazing young woman. And what I also want to say is living in fear is useless. I was fearful of some things, but within the forgiveness, God had already been there because she works in family law.
Wow. Wow.
So I just want someone out there to understand whatever it is you're going through, even in fear, even in unforgiveness, even in disobedience, God's already there. He's just waiting for you to
make that.
And he had to pummel me from, that was 16 years ago when I wrote the letter. So when I say do it from the right standing in your heart and it will be resolved, I hadn't resolved it, but I thought I did because I wrote the letter.
And you left it. You wrote it, left it alone.
Yes, yes.
So we're going to take a quick pause. We need to do a quick commercial break. But when we return, we're going to talk to Shelby about, did she ever meet her dad? Did they speak? Are they on better terms? Are they planning to speak again? Or, you know, just a little bit more details. And then also, you know, I do encourage anyone that's listening and watching, if there's something in your life that, you know, that you've been holding on to and you haven't been able to resolve, or there's someone, something that you haven't been able to forgive, don't wait. Do it, because God, through this message, may be speaking to you about some unresolved issues. And like Shelby mentioned, fear is a false emotion, in my opinion. Fear is just something that holds you back, and it keeps you from your real purpose. So I'm going to take a quick break. Again, this is Kimberly Hairston Hicks at Good Women Win. Thank you so far for listening and watching, and we're going to take a quick commercial break.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Hello again, this is Kimberly Hairston Hicks, the host of Good Women Win, a show about inspiring goodness. And today, again, we have Shelby Lawson of Lawson's Accessories, but she's a business owner, a mom, a wife, and she's actually sharing her experience today with us about forgiveness and the power of forgiveness. And before we took a break, Shelby was going to enlighten us on what has happened with the relationship with her father. So we know, just to recap, she wrote the letter 16 years ago. She reached out on the 19th
of June.
Let me see.
This year.
Make sure you're talking to the mic.
June this year.
Okay.
Yes.
And now, what has happened? What's going on?
Well, so far, pretty much, we're waiting to resolve. It's unfolding daily.
Okay.
I speak to my sister via text or phone often. I think I can't speak for my father, but I think he, like myself, is stubborn.
Okay.
And I think pride may be involved. And I hope that he reaches out, but if he does not, I've reconciled with that. I've experienced his rejection already, so there's no hurt. If I had a relationship with him and then we became estranged, it may hurt worse.
Okay.
But since I never really had a relationship with him, I'm okay at this point, being 56 and he being 81. with no relation, it, with it remaining the same. What I would like from him is simply an I'm sorry. And I think men struggle with I'm sorry, but those are two powerful, or three, I am sorry, three very powerful words. And I think as a country, we need to learn how to apologize for our faults,
yeah,
and our defects.
And there's no shame in being wrong, or there's
right.
no weakness in being wrong and saying sorry. And I think that is really all that we all want,
yes.
to be seen and acknowledged, to say, even if you don't recognize that you might have hurt someone,
mm-hmm.
or even if you think, wow, that wouldn't have bothered me,
mm-hmm.
if that person is telling you that you need, that they're in pain,
mm-hmm.
a simple phrase, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. can really change mm-hmm. that, can change that. So my question for you is around, can you heal without two things? So the first question is, can you heal without resolution? Meaning, if he never reaches out, can you truly be healed? And then, can you heal without forgiveness? So two separate,
okay.
and you can tackle either one first.
Okay. I'll start with the healing and forgiveness portion first.
Okay.
I don't believe one can truly heal without forgiveness.
Okay.
It's a heart issue, and it has to be tackled, or it will reappear over and over again, and each time it may be stronger. I am about 98% healed.
Okay. Okay.
Which is extremely high, because I never felt the need for him. I've had, God's been with me through this journey, and it's through his grace that I didn't succumb to the search for Father in men.
Okay. And we know
yes.
many women do, and that
yes.
they act out in different ways.
Yes. Yes. And I'm very grateful that that was not part of my journey. It is a part of a lot of women's journeys. And if there are men listening, it is imperative that you are a part of your little girl's lives, because she's the first man that you're going to love, that she's going to love, I'm sorry. And she will carry that into all of her relationships with men. And it's not fair to the young men that come along and have to deal with the damage that has been done because of your absence.
And I really want us to take that really to heart, because I think earlier you mentioned that you didn't know if it was your mom that kept your dad away from you, or if it was his reasoning. But I will say, even if there are women out there that have daughters and are divorced from their fathers,
mm-hmm.
Even if you don't love that man or hate
Absolutely.
That man, encourage that relationship.
Yes.
Don't be a barrier, because I do see so many incidents where, mm-hmm. Someone just told me recently that their mother told them that they could never forgive their father. But it was interesting, because I think they thought that was just about them.
Yeah.
But they were putting that on to the child. And that is very painful.
Yes.
And I love that you said you're almost healed, because it's a process. How have you healed, or what's the process that you take in healing?
I tap into Jeremiah 29:11. God has, here we go. I've got to read it properly. I don't want to embarrass my pastor by saying it the wrong way. So
Amen.
Jeremiah 29:11 states, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So in my father's absence, I've always had a father.
Amen. Amen.
And so because of that, grace was extended to me. Mercy was extended to me. And I just walk in that. There's really no process. Each process for each person is very different. I had a firm foundation in knowing who I was early.
Okay.
So I didn't have to seek approval a lot from people. I was just me.
Okay.
And I was proud to be me. And so the process is, it will continue.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will absolutely continue. My growth will continue. My wholeness will continue. But in that, I get the joy of sharing that with other women.
Yeah. I will say, just briefly, when you and I met, it was a couple of months ago. It may have been even a year ago. It's been some time.
Kind of creation.
Yes. And mm-hmm. I will say, we talked a little bit about it before the show started. Your spirit was so welcoming. It was so much, it had so much wisdom about you that I was drawn to you, not knowing your story, but learning more about your story. Mm-hmm. And I would love to understand, do you believe, or when did you realize that background and your experience was really your purpose? How did that connection, when did you know that connection?
Well, I realized the connection. I've always, going back to my mother, being a single mother, she had her tribe.
Okay.
And her tribe, the ones that are still with us, are still my women.
Got
and
it.
They're very powerful. And so I knew that I had a love and an embracing spirit for women and making sure that I pour into them. And then the color situation came. So when I connected the two is when Lawson Accessories really came into fruition, because when you are in my presence, my job and my purpose is to make you feel loved and to make you feel special. I know that I'm an encourager, so I embrace who I am.
Yes.
And so that's how the two connected with my purpose. And accessories for Lawson Accessories does not necessarily mean skirts, which are my number one sellers, but accessories means confidence and beauty and charisma and everything that God created you to be. I want women to do that.
And you do it so well.
Tell us
first, before we even get into any other questions, I want the viewers and the listeners to know where they can, get one of your creations.
I am at 13 East Elizabeth Avenue in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, the beautiful city of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And I do have ready-to-wear, but I sew custom as well. So they can just call me, 484-275-0136, or they can pop in the shop.
Okay.
But make sure you call me first, because a lot of times I do special deliveries. So I close the shop, take deliveries to my clients as well.
Okay.
So call first, but that's where I am.
I will put the link into this show. I will make sure I tag you and your website so people can actually see some of your beautiful collections.
Thank you.
And you can follow her on Instagram as well. So definitely. So we're going to take a quick pause, and when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more about purpose and passion to do a little bit of a shift. So stay with me. This is Kimberly Hairston Hicks at Good Women Win.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Hello, this is Kimberly Hairston Hicks with Good Women Win. Today's guest, we have Shelby Lawson, and she's sharing her wonderful experience, and I will say testimony as well, about forgiveness. And, of course, you can't have a good woman in the room like Shelby and not start a dialogue and have a conversation about purpose and how she knew what her purpose in life was. But my question is really around, what do you think has been your biggest challenge of to fulfill your purpose?
As most small business owners, and they both, the purpose and passion collides.
Okay. Yep.
I think one of the biggest challenges has been, and will probably continue to be, is funding for small businesses.
Okay.
Because every penny that I make goes right back into Lawson Accessories, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. So I am not paying myself as of yet. And the other challenge is the duplication of myself.
Oh.
Since I am doing it all, the sewing, the marketing, the taxes, the everything, that's my biggest challenge. And trying to find good quality seamstresses to help me.
Okay.
So that's been the most challenging.
And you say that, you know, of course, funding. If, I mean, for all businesses, I've worked in corporate as well as now, you know, experiencing my own personal journey of entrepreneurship.
Right.
But I will tell you, money is always an issue. Even when I worked for Coca-Cola and had millions, there's never enough.
Yes.
But what advice would you give to a woman thinking about either starting her own business or just going and stepping out on faith to really live in her purpose and her passion?
My first tidbit of advice would be to make sure you surround yourself with like-minded people and people who are going to cheer you on in your bad days and your great days. I would advise them to make sure that they dot all of their I's and cross all of their T's as far as licensing, and make sure that this is what you're really passionate about, because you're not going to get a full 8 hours of sleep. You're not going to have a guaranteed income.
Okay.
Just be very realistic about it. Start part-time if you can. Stay
okay.
on your job so that you will have the resources to cover what needs to be covered before you step all the way.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, you're right. It is about faith, and it is about what God has called you to do, because he makes a way when... If this is truly what you're called to do, a lot of people tend to take things into their own hands. But if you just wait and do it when the timing is his timing and not yours, things will always fall together.
Okay. And what's your, when you celebrate your big wins, tell me what that looks like. So something, it could be recently or from the past that you're like, okay, I've made it, or I've done this and I'm so excited about celebrating that.
In March of this year, I had my third annual fashion show at the Allentown Art Museum.
Oh.
And it was an amazing feat because, you know, people say, how did you get the art museum? I picked up the phone and called.
So
don't be afraid to ask for what you need. We have not because we ask not. I ask, and the answer could have been no, but if you've lived long enough, you've gotten a lot of no's in your life, so it's okay to get a no.
Yeah.
No's for me means that's not where God wants me to be.
Not yet.
So when I celebrate, surprisingly, I shut down and I go away by myself.
Okay.
And I just enjoy it alone.
And how do you do that being a mom and a wife and a business owner? Because that must be difficult for your family if they're not celebrating with you.
I include them in the beginning for like the first hour, but my husband reads me. We've been together 32 years.
Oh, I'm a clap to that.
And
for
so
love.
He knows when I need downtime, and he'll take, well, my daughter's in college now, but he'll take her and go to a movie or something. And I don't, it's not a lot of time that's required for me to be alone.
Okay.
Just a couple hours to just decompress, because leading up to whatever it is, I'm running on fumes.
Okay.
And so when it actually happens and it's done, I just need to decompress and thank God for whatever I was blessed with.
I love that. I love that. If there's one thing that you can change about your journey, either the process with your father of forgiveness or just your journey with business, is there something that you would change? That you could change.
That I could change.
Yes.
I'm still going to say absolutely nothing, because in each part of the journey, there has been valuable lessons learned.
Oh, wow.
And what's meant for me is for me.
Okay.
And I can't take total charge of my life, because that's not how I roll. God has a massive part of everything I do, and so I can't say I would change anything. He's done it all for me. I'm just walking in his grace and what he had for me.
I love that, because I know sometimes we live in regret, mm-hmm. and you know that's the past. So mm-hmm. I love that. So let me switch it a little bit. Let me ask the question in a different way.
Oh boy.
What advice would you give Shelby at 21?
Ooh, now that is a good one. That is a very good one. So the advice that I would definitely give Shelby at 21, we had a little bit of the conversation, to absolutely embrace who I am and don't compromise. At 21, I did some compromising.
Okay.
Don't compromise who you are for anyone. If they're not willing, unless they're willing to compromise for you.
Okay.
But as a 21-year-old, I was in a position where I just was so in love with this person that I compromised who I was. Mm. And I would definitely tell her not to do that.
I love it. Don't compromise yourself, because who you are, that's really, again, it goes to this self-love. And
yes.
It takes women some time to really embrace mm-hmm. our self-love.
Yes.
And this is a question that I ask all of my guests. And it's because I own a skincare company, a beauty company called Good Beauty. And my mission for me is to improve the lives of Black women and their skin. So it really is about that self-love first, mm-hmm. and then some of that outer stuff comes with it. Mm-hmm. So my question for you is, when was the first time you felt beautiful?
Oh, boy. Okay, so my husband is a part-time photographer.
Okay.
So I would, and there's always a camera in my face early in our marriage.
Okay.
And so I would always run from it, and I was like, stop taking pictures of me. But what I learned from that experience is, he wasn't really taking a picture of me.
Mm-hmm.
He was capturing my joy. Like if I woke up that morning and I was happy, and he would capture that. Or if I had an outfit that I was just so excited to wear, he mm-hmm. would capture that. Or, you know, when Naomi came along, if she and I were on the floor playing, he would capture that. So that was beauty. And that's when I realized how beautiful I was. It's not an external thing.
Mm.
It's an internal thing. So from all the pictures that he's taken over the years, the beauty comes through film.
I love that.
And not through what society says is beautiful.
I love that.
Many days I would wake up to him in my face as I awake because he loved my skin and how it looked in the morning. He's an early riser. I'm not a morning girl at all. So he would be up at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. And many times I would wake up and he would have the camera in my face. It could be either my cheekbone or my lips or something. So I think that's truly the first time I understood beauty.
Okay.
And understanding that it's not an external thing.
I love that. I love that. I definitely want to thank you, of course, for being vulnerable, because this is a process.
It's not easy.
It is not easy to come share your story, something so intimate. And I do believe that the reason Good Women Win is because we are able to share.
Absolutely.
Our, of course, when we're vulnerable, when we're strong, to help others. And I would love to know, what's next for you, Shelby? I feel like this could be a book. Tell me what's going on.
The book is coming.
Okay.
My journey has been so diverse, coming from a small town in South Carolina to meeting my husband, only being married to him for 9 months, and moving to Illinois, the coldest place on the planet. We were a few miles outside of Wisconsin.
Oh.
And then spending 6 years there and now here for 22. So the book is definitely coming about the journey, including encouraging black women who struggle with fertility.
Okay.
I found that to be a very lonely time in my life. As the community does not speak of it.
Okay.
And that is documented and will be in the book.
Okay.
I am open to just whatever life brings. I want to continue to sew, of course. I want to offer sewing lessons for young girls who may not be able to afford them.
Okay.
I want to teach them the art of hair braiding.
Do you braid your own hair?
I do.
Oh.
I do.
This woman is multi-talented.
And I'm so blessed and grateful for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
October 18th, if you guys aren't doing anything, I'm having a brunch and fashion show in Bethlehem. It's a Sunday afternoon. It should be really amazing.
What's the date?
It's Sunday, October 18th at Cole Restaurant, C-O-A-L, in Bethlehem.
I'm going to share this on my page.
I'm excited about that. Of course, the book, I'm excited. My daughter is going into her senior year in college, so I'll be able to travel more with my husband.
Okay.
He travels for work a lot, and I was never able to go with him. So now I am able to do that, thanks to Lawson Accessories and being self-employed. So I look forward to whatever life brings.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And I thank you so much for taking your time and sharing your energy with us today on Good Women Win.
Thank you.
Again, our show is always about inspiring goodness. And every week I try to do a Good Women Win, or spotlight of a good woman. Mm-hmm. And so I'm encouraging everyone watching, listening, to DM me about women in your community, because I would love to have them on the show, just spotlight what they're doing to encourage them, because our community of women, you know, our squad is powerful.
Yes.
And it becomes even more powerful when we support one another. I could not do what I do if I didn't have women like yourselves supporting me. So the first thing I want to do, of course, is thank everyone. And if you're watching, please like the Facebook page. Please go to Good Beauty on Instagram and follow us, because, again, it's about supporting one another. And share it with your friends. I think this is going – I can't wait to rewatch this episode because it's great to hear and share your experiences. And if you have any questions for Shelby, please put them in the comment section. I will make sure we get those answered after the show. Again, this is Kimberly Hairston Hicks of Good Women Win. And again, I just want to say thank you to the followers, to Shelby. I truly, truly appreciate you sharing your story.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a blessing for me. And again, our interaction, I met you. That's okay. The building is still intact. Something fell. That's okay. But I really do appreciate you, and I thank you for watching to all of the followers, and I thank you for coming. So, again, this is Kimberly Hairston Hicks of Good Women Win. Don't forget to like our page at Good Beauty, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram. Have a wonderful weekend. Remember, it's going to be hot, hot, hot. I believe the temperature already is 97 degrees. If you have pets, bring them inside, because it's just too hot for them. So thank you. God bless everyone, and have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Deputy Attorney General Jeff Rosen held a news conference at the Justice Department on Friday to provide an update on the implementation of a bipartisan criminal justice reform measure President Trump signed into law last December called the First Step Act. Rosen says,
starting today, at prisons around the country, nearly 3,100 inmates are being released from BOP custody due to the increase in good time credits applied to reduce their sentences under the First Step Act.
White House senior advisor Ivanka Trump is taking a tour of a job retraining center in Iowa. The president's first daughter joins a roundtable discussion on how to prepare Americans for jobs of the future.
So this is a great climate, a great opportunity, but it brings to bear a unique challenge, which is the fact that people need skilled workers.
This is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Crescent Tools. Most toolboxes contain a crescent wrench, which tradesmen and DIYers have trusted for more than a century. But what many call a crescent wrench isn't always the real deal. The reason? True crescent wrenches are made by Crescent Tools, which started producing the adjustable wrench in 1907. However, few realize that Crescent is the brand, not the tool. Nor do they understand that Crescent makes more than just wrenches. Brendan Walsh, Director of Product Management at Crescent Tools.
What a person thinks is a crescent wrench may just be an adjustable wrench, and there's a difference. We've innovated the crescent wrench to meet the needs of today's tool user and have expanded to offer a solid crew of tools in addition to wrenches.
While wrenches are their signature products, Crescent manufactures 2,800 tools, including files, snips, storage cabinets, and measuring tapes, establishing Crescent Tools as one of the most respected professional hand tool brands in the world. So, the next time you reach into your toolbox, check to see if it's actually a crescent wrench or an imposter. For more information, visit www.crescenttool.com.
President Trump has announced that he will nominate Jean Scalia to take over as Secretary of Labor. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
The 55-year-old Washington attorney is the son of the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, who died suddenly in 2016. Democrats are expected to show their opposition to Scalia during his confirmation hearings because he has been a frequent attorney for major corporations in a number of key cases. If confirmed, Scalia will take over for Alex Acosta, who resigned in the wake of his part in a lenient plea deal for Democratic fundraiser Jeffrey Epstein, who is in jail on new charges of sex trafficking of young girls. Deputy Labor Secretary Patrick Pezzilla will take over the post pending Scalia's confirmation.
At least two-thirds of the United States can expect to face dangerous heat this weekend. Now millions of Americans will be sweating it out as temperatures top 100 degrees across the Midwest and East Coast. Factoring in the humidity, it could feel like over 110 degrees. and you're listening to USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to LightYourLiberty.com. That's LightYourLiberty.com.
According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, over 40 million people in the United States suffer from chronic negative thinking. But what can we do to change that? Well, I had a chance to catch up with John Gordon. He's author of a new book titled The Coffee Bean, A Simple Lesson to Create Positive Change. And one of the things I asked him was what we can do to create that positive environment when we're out with our friends or even at our workplace.
That's a great question. And it starts with you. You have to feed yourself so that way you can feed others. If you don't have it, you can't share it. So you are contagious. And every day you have to understand you could be a germ or a big dose of vitamin C. I know that sounds maybe a little cheesy or corny, but it's true. And so every day when you're with your friends, when you're with your team, bring that positive energy to them and then try to create the dialogue with the team. Hey, how can we be a more positive team? How can we overcome this adversity that we're facing and be stronger together? And start asking your team some questions. Hey, how connected are we as a team? Can we become more connected? What can we do to be more connected? And you get them to participate. And as you do that, you'll build a stronger team. Thanksgiving, family events, right? You go to your family. Maybe they're more negative. My dad was a New York City cop, undercover narcotics, so he wasn't very positive. He was shot a few times. And so I found with my own family, I had to then try to transform them with positivity instead of letting their negativity affect me.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.